independent black leader. It wasn't a if it had been a pageant, then it wouldn't have been opened up to all the other racial and ethnic groups. Our brother here would not have been able to speak, and other representatives of other organizations. No, it was organized by the Nation of Islam, clearly, but as part of a broad coalition to fight oppression in our communities.
We're going to have to leave it there. But Larry Hamm, I want to thank you for being with us, chairman of the People's Organization for Progress. He was at the First Million Men March in 1995. This weekend was there when tens of thousands of people marched on Saturday. And Jossie Ross, thank you so much. He was speaker at the march, also author, lawyer, storyteller, member of the Blackfeet Nation, author of How to Say I Love You in Indian. That does it for the show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This Tuesday, Katrina Van Den Heuvel, editor, publisher, and part owner of The Nation magazine, will be live on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. That's this Tuesday, live on KBOO 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Hemp Stock Harvest Festival, October 17th and 18th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park in Portland. Portland's annual Hemp Stock Harvest Festival in Portland, Oregon, advocates decriminalization of cannabis for medicinal, industrial, and recreational use. It will feature food vendors, guest speakers, and live music, including a performance by John Trudell and Bad Dog. Again, that's the Hemp Stock Harvest Festival, October 17th and 18th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 5:01 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The KBOO Evening News will return tomorrow, Tuesday, October 13th. Today, we hear a special program in honor of Indigenous Peoples Day, First Voices Radio. Host Teocasin Ghost Horse welcomes two extraordinary Indigenous women who are doing important work in their communities.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Chasha. Akan tu chasha. Oe tona ke chama khake laka ompi. Oa hutopa na hupa hu yukhami. Tako shkan shkan ompi ke le na yuha. Ma khake le. Hakan khaka tako ma echa ke ke he on. Ona ha ohoki chila mani pikte. Ma khake le ohoki la mi moshi kila. He on heche. Le on yuta.
Tatangi ma.
Tauri mai ngatare koyere. Amoti no talo e posi koyere, koyere.
Greetings, good morning. Ampetu washtelo chante washte na pechu zapiolo le unkipiki he washtelo oyate hona umpi ohola oskate wichoni. I shake your hands with good feelings in my heart, and the whole world is a beautiful day. It's good for all of us to be here, and let the people hear your voice respectfully and celebrate life in addition to reality from the Pacifica Radio Network. This is First Voices Indigenous Radio. And I send you greetings and strength from the east gate of Turtle Island, where the sun and the water touch the earth at once. And our website is firstvoicesindigenousradio.org, soon to be changed to First Voices Radio. I want to thank you for your generosity, as always, and for being there. And you know who you are. Without you, we cannot continue. Again, once again, my name, if I said it before, I didn't. This is Teokas and Ghost Horse. And what we're going to do is come right back in a minute or two. We're still trying to get our guests on the line. So we'll be back. See you soon. All right. That is Ozo Motley with Who Discovered America. And those of you who are in the know that Who Discovered America is just a fable. And you guys are, most Americans will be unknowingly celebrating someone like Columbus. And, of course, we all have our stories as to who discovered us as indigenous peoples. On the line, we have Pu'ulani Case, who was born and raised in Waimea on the island of Hawaii. And with a degree in Hawaiian language and culture and teaching degree in social studies, Pu'ulani has been a public school teacher as well as a kumuhula for more than 25 years. Pu'ulani and her ohana, or family, are active as leaders in and beyond their community, immersed in culture and tradition, serving on many Hawaiian boards, multiple Hawaiian boards and committees, and their energies are currently focused on Mauna Kea as part of the Mauna Kea Hui and the Mauna Kea Ohana. They have formed the Idle No More Hawaii, Warriors Rising, to connect to others around the world who are working to address the issues and challenges facing the sacred places and sacred ways of all people. And this is Pu'a Case, who is on the line. Thank you very much. All the way from Hawaii, Pu'a, thank you for joining us here on First Voices Radio.
Aloha. Aloha to everyone.
Aloha. And, you know, Pu'a, you are everywhere. You are, you know, and it says here your energies are focusing on bringing together warriors rising, people to pay attention to what is going on with Mother Earth, but namely what is going on with Mauna Kea there in the Big Island of Hawaii. And could you tell us a little bit more? Maybe I didn't include everything in the intro as to what you're doing, and I know you are coming to New York in another week or so. And to bring more reality about Mother Earth, especially with what's going on in Hawaii with your people, the Kanaka Maoli.
Sure. Well, let me start just by really expressing my gratitude for being on the line with you. It's early morning here in Hawaii. It's probably about 3 o'clock or so. And the reason really that I said yes, I would love to speak, is, first of all, you know, New York welcomed me last year as part of the water ceremony, the sunrise ceremony, and the climate march walk through New York. And that was very significant for not just me, but for our people. And what it's really all about in the end is that Mauna Kea, our sacred mountain, really has put a call out to everyone. It's put a spiritual and even physical call out to say, I am here and I will unify you. And that's really what we're doing here in Hawaii, and in reaching out to everyone is being a part of a movement, a shift, a consciousness, an active awareness and action, to unify and also to stand for our ways, for our people, and for our places that still teach us, that still move and transform us. So on our island, Mauna Awa Kea, or Mauna Kea, is the highest mountain in the world from the seafloor. And for us, it is where our origins are from. We are from Wakea, the Sky Father, who dwells on the Mauna, who has created the mountain, and Papahanao Moku, who is our Earth Mother. And all of the elements and the deities and the ancestral forces that create us and guide us and move us. So that's our mountain. And on this mountain, through time, from the 1960s, really 1968 and forward, there are already 13 telescopes on our mountain. And that would be just so much to get into, but basically they are built either with permits coming after the fact or no permit at all, and they just appeared over time. And there have been people, Kanaka Maoli or native people, and supporters, non-Native supporters, who have truly stood for our mountain over time. But this time, the reason that we have become a mighty force, I must say, here in Hawaii and around the world, really, is because this time the telescope that's proposed for our mountain is 18 stories high. It's a 30-meter telescope with partners from China, India, Canada, Japan, and California, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation. And partnering together with our University of Hawaii, they have proposed this 18-story, 30-meter telescope. And I will say, because I know a lot of the people listening are indigenous people this morning, and really, truly, my aloha to all of you, my relations out there. This time, the mountain and the elemental beings and our ancestors spoke to us, to not just us, my family, but to more of us, and said, please try one more time to stop it. And so we have listened to that voice, and we have formed an ohana, you might say, a family out of our own people. You know, we're on different islands, so it's not as easy as it might be elsewhere to come together. We are on different islands. We have to fly in. We come together. We don't know everyone, but we meet on a temple, a mountain, and it is dictated, demanded by our mountain, our conduct. We are on the temple. So our conduct and our action must be what we call pono, upright. We must transform in a second to stand. And we have stood three times now against, and if you want to say against, but we have stood for the mountain with police and construction workers and TMT corporation workers, and we have faced arrest. We have over 40 arrestees. And in fact, today, coming up today, is a court case for many of our arrestees and our last eight who were arrested, my daughter included, have their day, their first court date today. So we are actually readying for that, as well as moving forward and taking care of our people, strengthening our movement, strengthening our network and connection to not just our own people, but others who are standing there on your island, continent, Turtle Island, and also beyond that. So that is our movement, and that is what we are doing at this time.
You said something about the Idle No More Hawaii Warriors Rising, and I think you're referring to the movement that was started here a few years ago in First Nations Canada and spread throughout the Western Hemisphere. And I do like the fact that you are relating it to Idle No More. And the people, I think, people get the wrong idea that Native people were just idle most of the time. But the fact that our movements, our languages, our cultures are in movement, in union, in co-union, I would say, with Mother Earth. And this is why one of those things, when you hear Mama Earth calling out, you have to do something. And that's what you're doing there with the mountain, Mauna Kea, and Mauna Kea, and Idle No More is, and I don't get this, Pua, is why should this be a threat to anybody when all we are doing is standing up for mountains, standing up for Mother Earth? It's almost as if, I can only think about disconnection from the people who just don't understand why do Native people stand up for Mother Earth? What is the connection that most people are missing here?
That's a great question that you're posing, and I do want to take it, maybe connect it back to the Idle No More movement and then move forward with your question. You know, for us here in Hawaii, for many of us, and I'm not going to truly generalize, I can only speak for my family, but when we look at our history, we are no different from any other people who have had someone come across their shores, and especially in respect to our land and our ways. And for us, it really started with Captain Cook coming here. You have your Columbus story. We have our Captain Cook story. And from then, missionaries, as you have as well. And really, as soon as the missionaries came here, we have a people, a small group of people coming to our islands who just in a short time, somehow, as it's done everywhere, all of a sudden everything we have ever known or done is wrong and banned. And we go through a time just like everyone else where we lose our language, our dances, our ways. And that's just the nature of what has happened to many of us. And so what happens to us along the way is you start to lose identity when you lose or you are forced to give up your land and your ways that are connected to those lands when everything you have ever known is land-based, spirit-based. And all of a sudden, that is not there anymore. And so even until this day, everywhere, colonialism has impacted and affected us. And it does determine really that long period of time when we don't stand. And for us here in Hawaii, I find that we don't stand largely because the generations before us really felt that they didn't have a right to anymore, and they didn't know how, and they were depressed, and to some degree they were ashamed. And that's our grandparents and our great-grandparents. So in this time, we find ourselves in the position where we must stand. We have to, because what they are proposing has, it's over the tipping point. The Mauna has said, I've tolerated. The land has said, I've tolerated what has occurred, and I cannot tolerate this anymore. But we have fear. You know, we have fear that we shouldn't be, we can't be, possibly standing on our mountain. And then we become divided. Those who say, oh, it's just one more. What's the problem with it? Those who say it'll bring jobs, you know, those temporary jobs for permanent destruction, and those who really, with great intention, say they're going to give us some money for our children for education. All of those factors really weigh on our people. But there comes a time when we have the right, the duty, and the privilege to say enough is enough. One more is going to be too much, whatever that one more is. So what happened for me personally is I went into that fear. When the mountain first said, Pua, can you try one more time? I really went immediately to fear. I said, what about my job? I actually said in 2010, what about the jobs for my people? What if I stand alone? And what will my own people think? And then, of course, I knew it meant I would have to go into the court system. And I'd never done that before. So I had so much fear. And I say this because I believe that many of our people and many people around the world have to go through that. They have to get through the fear, and some of us have to crawl to courage. And the Idle No More movement was happening right about that time. And everyone who knows me knows that I joke, but I really mean it, that Facebook can be a sacred Facebook. And I say because of sacred Facebook, I was able to get a glimpse of the Idle No More movement beginning during the time of Chief Spence's, what was she going through at that time? I just lost my train of thought. She wasn't eating. She was going through her hunger strike. And I caught wind of that. And her actions and the actions of four women I now call my friends and the actions of First Nations all the way across the deep ocean, they and their actions and the actions of the people made me brave. I said, if they can, I can. And I became a follower. And I became a supporter. And I don't know much about what's happening over there and how it's evolving and what's happening there because I'm so far away. But what I do know is that the movement made me brave enough to go to court, to stand on a mountain, to face off with the police, to say that we are here until what we call... We are here until the last aloha aina, until the last patriot of our people stands. We are here. And for me, that I was able to begin that journey from the Idle No More movement. So if anyone is in that movement out there, especially those of the First Nations people, I thank you for what you have done for me. And I say that one day I will go there and thank them myself. But at this point, I do it through you. I do it through my daughter, Havani, and her music and her travels to the First Nations. And she has thanked them for me. But one day I will do that myself.
We're speaking with Pualani Case, who is on the line with us from Hawaii, and she is with the Idle No More Hawaii Warriors Rising, connecting with people as she is with you. And Pua, you were going to, I was going to ask the question, but you answered it already. But basically the question was, you know, you talked about there were a few generations in between when Hawaii was annexed, supposedly annexed by the United States, and now. And the fear that you had to go into, which is a key here, if we think about this, it has become a being. Because since then, there were a few generations in between feeling that as natives, that we didn't have a right to stand. And now you are standing. So what I'm looking at is the in-between generations. That's the feeling that I'm feeling, the youth all over, not just indigenous peoples, but youth, other peoples, young people, have a feeling that there is something dreadfully wrong, but they do not know how to think their way. They don't know how to think about this. They do not have the language. Is it possible that in your language, the Hawaiian language, that this is part of the key, is to go back and to understand the ceremonies, the movements that are with Mother Earth? Because I think that's what I'm feeling when you said that you addressed the fear and that you went into the fear, which basically, I would say in my words, my listening abilities freed you from fear.
Yes, that's very true. And you know, to the young people out there, I'm going to say that if you need to have, what it is hope. You have to believe. You have to believe that there are good things coming. You have to know that there is hope. And what I see here, so to all of you young people, connect to us here in Hawaii like we have connected to you. Do not go to despair. Know who you are. like we do. We have come a long way, and I must say to those of you across the continent, you have gone through far more than we have in your history. Your anger, your despair, your rage, your sadness, what has been passed down to you, the defeat perhaps, is very real. And it really takes a conscious generation to change that, to begin to change that. So I have to say, on behalf of my generation and all of you listening who are the parent generation and those who are even one generation above us, the grandparents, we have done the best we could and we are still doing. We are laying the foundation, especially at this moment in time, those of us who have chosen to take this path. We are doing the best that we can, and we are doing this for ourselves, for those before us, and for you, the youth, and really, as all traditional peoples do, we are doing it for the next seven generations. So what we have focused on here in Hawaii, I believe, is that seventh generation. We have said we must rise and we must get past this fear, this anger, this depression, whatever it is we are all in, because the seventh generation is coming and we must make it better for them. And the way to make it better for them is to make it better for us. So the manner in which we step into this, I'm going to say to all of you out there, what is working for us is that we have shifted from anger, because anger serves the other side. And we have made a pact and a promise to each other that we are not going to do anything to the best of our ability that is beneficial for the other side. Anger serves them, because when we're angry, we're not making rational, clear decisions. We are not standing in a manner that our descendants, even our children, can look at us and stand as we do. So we are actively beginning to transform ourselves in the way that we stand. And what I see in the young people here in Hawaii, one, they're getting educated in college about their own people and ways, though that is not necessarily the only way to go, but I see that happening. I also see them actively, if they are not in college or whether they are going back to the ways of our people. They are working the land. They are speaking the language. They are making that conscious effort to repair what has occurred in generations earlier. And what I have seen in our youth is that they are braver than us. They have come back this time to the earth with a mission. And they, yes, they get frustrated, because sometimes our generation is moving a little fearfully, or we're a little slower. We're taking our time to catch up to them. But they are braver than we are. Innately, they have more courage than we do. And when the mountain called, the youth came running. Now, they can't do it by themselves. We find it here in Hawaii. We must have everyone in their place. So we have our ancestors above us and our land base above us. And they are feeding us, guiding us, protecting us, moving us into upright action. And then we have to have our kupuna, our elders. We must then have my generation, the makua, the parent. Then we have the opio, the youth, coming in full strength. But they must still be guided, because they are young. They have not the age, the wisdom, the knowledge that the older generation have. Then we have our keiki. Our young ones are standing on the line. And our pepe, our babies are on the line with their parents. And then we have those not yet born that we are doing this for, as we do it for ourselves. So it is a movement, an entire movement. And we are not without our situations. We are not saying that we will not falter. We are not saying that we will not take two steps back, but we will take 10 steps forward. And the reason I say that is because I have to be very truthful and real about this. We are a young movement. In this current movement on the Mauna, we are 1 year old on October 7th when we stopped the groundbreaking ceremony on the mountain by the corporations. We are almost 1 year in the making of a movement. We are family, and then we are strangers to one another as well, who have come to a mountain to stand together as some sort of family and collective, to protect a mountain from being constructed on, destructed, and desecrated by those who break the laws, by those who don't feel the mountain is sacred, by those who would build on our water aquifer. We have only been in this together, in this present movement, for 1 year. So what I say to people, especially on social media who are not here, do not judge us, please. We are a young movement, but we are moving. And we are doing the best we can under the circumstances that we have. And one of the reasons that we're able to do this, especially to the listeners and to the people out there beyond Hawaii, is because we are networking with you. We are joining, and we have become a mighty force, and we are supporting one another. And when one of us have a victory, we are celebrating that victory as if it were our own. There are many peoples and many tribal peoples around the world that we have prayed for on the top of our mountain because it is the highest peak in the world, and we believe the prayers go straight to the divine beings. Many, many different peoples have said, pray for us. We are in court. Pray for us. They are coming to our lands to mine on it. They have stopped the salmon in our rivers. Pray for us. We have prayed for people everywhere around the world, and they in return have done the same for us. That is the beauty of this lifetime, and the beauty of this movement is that we are unifying. In some way, we are all in this together.
Poor case. Thank you. Thank you so much all your words. This is, didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.
Yes, and I think this is exactly what people out there listening want to hear, needed to hear, and will be hearing every time First Voices Radio comes on the air here in New York. We are about Mother Earth. We are about the people who are protecting her. Generations, as you say, and I think that is the strength of this program, this program. And it's far from me to interrupt you, a speaker, because it's really not about me or the radio program. It's about the message, and that message that you bring to Mother Earth and for Mother Earth and with Mother Earth is much stronger than my voice can ever be. And I'd like to thank you for being here. I know you're coming to New York in a few weeks here, and we have about a minute. Could you tell us about where you're coming to here in Pua Case? And then I would advise people to go to Facebook and look up Pua Case, P-U-A-C-A-S-E, and find what is going on with the islands and, in general, Mother Earth and what Pua is up to. Could you tell us about where are you coming to in New York?
Sure. I'm coming up for a 2-day powwow. I'm going to arrive on the 10th and 11th. And then I'm there. My daughter and I actually will be singing, will be chanting, will be speaking at the Indigenous Day event that we've been invited to as we shift the event and this time period from, you know, whom is not beneficial for us, and we turn it to a day that is about our people, all people, Indigenous people. Really, we're all Indigenous to the earth, but upright people, upright action. So we'll be there in New York for that, but we're also there to start to network for Hokulea, our double hull canoe that is traveling around the world right now, and really should be heading to South Africa. In 2016, we'll be visiting New York with permission from the native peoples there, which is what we're working on. I'm coming to help to solidify the welcoming into your area, into New York, and we'll be speaking with the people there in protocol and in ceremony to make sure that when we do arrive, spreading the message of Malama Honua, taking care of the earth all the way around the world, we will be welcome. And we will have done our entry in a way that the native people there will hold to be an honor for them and for us.
Poor Case, thank you so much again for First Voices in Radio here and in my own language, Lakota. Unshimalaye oyate wani wachichuelo. I do this so that others may live, so that you may live. And I thank you for being you and for being here on today's program.
Thank you, and I am one of many, one of many. And I want to say thank you. I'm honored to be on this program and speaking with you. Thank you for taking my words and the time and knowing that this is a significant time for all of us and that our words need to be heard and that we are all connected indeed. So mahalo to everyone, and I look so forward to being embraced in New York and bringing the best that my daughter and I have to all of you. So from my ancestors to yours, thank you. Malama. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo nui.
Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north to the south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, me. Our things and what they used to do, radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby.
All right, on the line we have, this is Teokasin Ghost Horse with First Voices Radio here. On the line we have Daffy Puyak, who is in Saskatchewan, Canada, and she's Nakota and Cree from the Sweetgrass First Nation of Saskatchewan, Canada, and she's dedicating her life to understanding, learning, sharing about natural law. And she's worked with children for many years, correctional institutions, and alcohol and drug abuse centers as a traditional teacher and a cultural advisor. Daffy, thank you for coming on the line here in New York, out of Saskatchewan. Thanks for being here.
Yes, I'm happy to be able to share and tell some stories.
Yeah. We want to hear a story, actually. We just had someone on from Hawaii who was talking about how they are living with natural law in order to correct the situations that those who are not living with natural law have brought into an imbalance. So would you give us a story? Because I think stories have a lot to do with spreading news, spreading information, spreading spirit, spreading creation stories. The current the feeling of what Mother Earth is going through, and I think you have stories that most people don't understand. I think it's going to be a fairy book story or something, but these stories from the First Nations are real, and that is what we would like to hear, and that's why.